Hi, this is Eddie from Big Ed's Barbecue in Waukegan, Illinois, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network, sucker.
I know what you mean, Ferb. It does seem like more than 104 days.
Hello, and welcome to episode 82 of Falcon, not 42, 82, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm, of course, one of your hosts, TFG1 Mike. Joining me, as always, Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Today is the 82nd day of summer, and this means it is day that we get back to the GCRN's Phineas and Ferb Review Podcast, the podcast organization. Well, that's a cool acronym. We have 22 days left of the show. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
I feel like these episodes, I don't know. I liked them, but I just feel like,
I kind of feel like they were filler. They had Where's Perry, which was like a 4-episode extravaganza, and then they have a 2-episode kind of season ender, and in between they're like, "What are we gonna put here?
Yeah,
we'll just throw these in there." I guess.
I mean, again, if we were going by the way that the Phineas and Ferb, the awesome people at Phineas and Ferb, list them, which is the, you know, air date, production code, whatever kind of thing. If Disney Plus had put them in the order that they were in on the wiki, it would probably make much more sense, but maybe not really, because
Why?
I don't know.
Blackout would have made a better season ender?
Oh, then what's coming up next time? This is your backstory? No.
Yeah, where, I mean,
yeah, no,
backstory should be at the end of the season. It makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm just saying that some of these in season 3, some of the, like, especially now with us just finishing Where's Perry in the last episode, that kind of felt like a season finale, like, okay, when is season 4 going to come? And then you still have Blackout, What Did I Miss? And then obviously This Is Your Backstory. And This Is Your Backstory absolutely is a good season finale.
Right.
And I don't dislike these episodes. I just don't think there should fall between, Where's Perry and This Is Your Backstory.
It's like, we have some awesome and we have some awesome, and in between you've got mediocre.
I mean, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. I don't know.
This is why I don't wake up.
You don't wake up, then you're not awake right now. You're sleep podcasting.
I believe this is a dream.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a butterfly. Believing they're dreaming that I'm a man on a podcast.
What an effect you must have on people. Thank you very much, Ashton Kutcher. All right, let's just get right into this and Blackout, which is one of the weirdest episodes of the entire series.
I've got you now, Perry the Platypus. This is the most sophisticated trap I have ever invented. In fact, it's so escape-proof that I couldn't get that guy out.
When Doofenshmirtz plans to give himself big sad eyes so people would pity him, his innator to do so uses so much power that the entire town light supply goes out. As for Phineas and Ferb and the gang, they're building an unseen invention. Oh, what?
Light supply.
finite
supply of light.
I do not know who on the amazing people at the Phineas and Ferb wiki, I do not know which one of them wrote this. I'm just reading what I like. That's what it says, man.
Supply. Like, I wish we had enough light to go around, but I'm sorry, we only have enough for the rich people today.
Hey, man, there was that movie from 2010, 2012 called In Time. It was with Justin Timberlake, of all people. And it's Justin Timberlake, and Matthew Bomer, White Collar, Neil from White Collar. Okay. Basically all about how time is they finally made a movie where time is money, literally. It's the currency that
that's right. Yeah, they all had to wear the watch with the numbers on it.
Yep, In Time. I love
that.
I love that fucking movie. I love that movie. It's so cool.
What does this have to do with light supply?
Because maybe Danville has a rich section of town that can afford all the light and all, you know, and then it has a Doofenshmirtz section of town, which is the poor section. I don't know.
Where the poor live. That's terrible. I thought you were going to make like a Vin Diesel reference, you know, where the sun's gone for 30 days and they have he has to have a light shine job so he can see in the dark.
Yeah, no.
No? You didn't like that movie?
What movie was that?
Pitch Black.
Oh, God. I'd never even seen Pitch Black. I mean...
What? No.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never
Pitch Black.
I've never seen Pitch Black. I've never seen Pitch Black.
Don't watch the second one. It's crap. But the first one. Don't watch the first one.
I haven't seen Pitch Black. I haven't seen any of the Pitch Perfects. I have no interest. And Vin Diesel, to me, is Dominic.
Different franchises, well, by the way.
Well, yes, but I mean, you know,
Pitch. Vin Diesel does not sing.
The one, I love Vin Diesel. I love how awesome that man is. But the two franchises that he is the most awesome in is Triple X and Fast. So, you know. Okay,
you know, if you watch Pitch Perfect. Oh, my God. You got me. If you watch Pitch Black, not the second one, maybe the third one. There was a third one. It was great, too. It was like the spiritual continuation of the first one. And the first one's an awesome movie. It's amazing. You will completely forget about Triple X if you watch that movie.
I highly doubt it because
he's awesome in it. Go watch
Nobody forget about Darius Stone and Triple X State of the Union. Thank you very much.
That was his name. I didn't even know his name. His name was Triple X. That's as far as I get.
No.
That's as far as I got. I don't remember that movie. I remember that was like him trying to get into and it being like a leading action role, and I just didn't feel it. Until the Fast series. I really like him there, though.
Right. Here's the thing about the Triple X franchise. There are three films, so technically it's not really a full-fledged franchise. It's a trilogy.
Yeah.
He's in the first one, he's not in the second one, and he's in the third one. Listen.
Makes no sense.
No, it does make sense.
It's a series about him, but he's not in it.
No. It's a series about Triple X. It's a series about the character of Triple X, and anybody can be Triple X, apparently, because in the second film, which is Triple X, State of the Union, fucking Craig from Friday, Ice Cube comes in and becomes this badass military dude, and they have this whole, basically... Imagine, and this is horrible to say, but imagine a fictionalized version of what happened earlier this year at the Capitol building.
Okay.
Seriously, I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to pull light on what happened at the Capitol building this year with the whole, you know, insurrection and because, oh my God, Donald Trump lost, whatever. I'm not trying to shame that at all. I'm just telling you that State of the Triple X, State of the Union from 2002, 2003, somewhere around. It might have been 2000. I don't know. Anyway, it's basically that.
This deep, deep rabbit hole we're going into. I would say two things. Number one, go watch Pitch Black. You won't regret it. Number two, just strip all this out of the show.
Because
we're going deep down this weird rabbit hole that we probably it's a Phineas and Ferb podcast. If they don't want to watch, they don't want to listen to this. What were we talking about? Something about big sad eyes.
It would be blackouts. That's what we were talking about. Oh,
it's black. That was the reference. I get it now. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, you know what else got really dark really quick? He says, this trap is so escape-proof, I couldn't get that guy out.
and then he goes skeleton. Back.
No, yeah, I paused and laughed so hard, I thought I was going to shoot a kidney out my backside. I thought that was the funniest damn thing. I couldn't get that guy out. There's a dead guy in the trap. Yeah, I'm still laughing. I laughed so hard. Oh, man, it was funny. But then he says, oh, it's just a Halloween skeleton. And then I was like, oh, I laughed at that? That's dumb. Next time I redo my kitchen, I'm totally going to stuff a Halloween skeleton in behind the cabinets. Just tuck him in there for someone to find in 20 years. I think that would be epic.
Yeah, no.
No.
We're going to redo the bathroom, I think, in a year or so. And, you know, next person who owns this house, who opens up the bathroom wall, is going to find a body in it. Just like a zombie. I've got a lot of Halloween decorations.
You say garage. That you say that now, and that body might be yours.
Well, it can't be, but I'm going to be the one doing all the renovations, so it won't be me. I just think it's funny when you think about, you know, I mean, I'm not going to be the last owner of this house. I'm sure we're gonna retire and move away someday. Mm. Someone's going to find that, you know, foam corpse you know, that for all intents and purposes looks like a real body. In the wall.
So the best line out of this entire episode.
Sure. Doofenshmirtz says it's illuminated. Everything's dark.
That's right.
So the Inator blacks out the whole city, and we can only see people's eyes.
Yep.
For like the whole rest of the episode, that's all you see. It's all black, mm-hmm. with occasional like bits of moonlight. And then people's eyes. And it's risky, you know? I mean, this is like the opposite of lazy animation. It's like, oh, it's all black. It's, you can only see their eyes. But the fact is, it's still an enjoyable episode, even though you can only see their eyes. They play on that gag enough where it's funny. It's enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And now all I can think of is, damn it, if only Kevin Conroy was there.
I am the blackness. What's that?
I am vengeance. I am the night. I am Batman.
I am vengeance. That's funny. I was actually thinking of, what's the name of that duck? I am the vengeance that quacks in the night.
Oh, Darkwing.
Darkwing Duck. That's right. That's... I get them mistaken sometimes. So Phineas and Ferb make a series of saw traps in the dark.
Yeah, I don't understand this whatever this invention is.
I don't understand why Candace stepped into it. Why would she do that?
Candace, what are you doing?
I know, it's like a dark ride that tries to kill you. It's like Space Mountain and a car wash had a baby and it was raised by murder weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Raised by like circular saws or power tools that are meant to dismember people. It's I don't know. It was just like flashes. Like so, the whole episode is in the dark again, except for these flashes of light as sparks fly because the giant saws are cutting into metal and. You know, it's scary. It's like, holy cow, she looks like she could die.
Yeah, it's a good thing that neither one of us are epileptic.
I don't think it was quite epilepsy flashes, but...
True, but still, it was enough of a flash to where it might have been.
So you're going to get like the Homer Simpson eyes. Like, but then at the end, the lights come back on, and you see that Doofenshmirtz has these grotesque bloodshot orbs bulging out of his skull. It's like in the dark, everyone's like, oh, hey, I pity you. Let me give you things for free as they, you know, land from their jetpacking. And then, and then the lights come on, and his eyeballs are like, ah!
And
that's creepy.
And Roger's like, man. Roger's like, quit it, you're creeping me out.
You're creeping me out, that's right. You're freaking me out, man. Stop it.
And the first time, the only time maybe, that Dr. Doofenshmirtz gets, hey, where's Perry? The platypus. I think this is the only time. I could be wrong and people can correct me. I honestly believe this is the only time in the entire series that Doof gets a Where's Perry line.
I'm honestly surprised you're not going straight to the wiki to...
I'm not looking that up.
Because it'll tell you.
I'm sure.
Apparently this is the second time that Buford says, what you doing, before Isabella could.
Yeah. That's
interesting.
Yeah, this is the first time that he says it where she doesn't immediately come up and like she isn't there yet, so you know.
This is the fourth time my watermelon is heard. It's funny too because the lights went out and they're like, my watermelon, and I heard it and I was like, is that a Dirty Dancing reference? What is that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the hell that was.
I carried a watermelon from Dirty Dancing. My wife and I went and saw Dirty Dancing the musical. And I did not understand why they were making a big deal about the watermelon line. And I mean, I'm just like, what's so big about I carried a watermelon? I didn't get it until the next time I saw the movie. And then I was like, oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
There's nothing here in the illusions about Dirty Dancing, so.
Well, I'm going to add it because it's such a stretch.
Yeah, well, you know.
It's a suitable stretch.
What would you, are we ready for ratings for Blackout?
Yeah, I guess. I'd give this one a 3. You know, they did a lot with practically zero visuals. I mean, the gags, sometimes they didn't so much pan out, but it was very brave.
Yep. Yeah, I am also going to give it a 3. And, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun for what it is, but the fact that we don't ever get to see what the hell they were building is just, it bugs me.
All we saw is that Candace almost died repeatedly. Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
And they're like, why did you write it? I'm like, what are you supposed to do with it? What?
Yeah, like, what the hell is it?
We don't even know. They didn't even say, like, oh, I know what we're going to do today. We're going to build blah, blah, blah. I don't think that was even a thing.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. All right, we are moving on to What'd I Miss?
What'd I Miss?
So then the seamstress walks back into the stateroom and says, Titanium! I thought she said cranium! Yeah, pretty good punchline, huh?
Yes, all you need is the first part and then you'll have a whole joke.
Hey, look, everyone. Ferb and Perry are back.
Hey, Ferb.
What you doing back from debate camp so soon?
We finished earlier than expected.
You're right. Judges, he's right. He's changed my entire worldview. Thank you.
It's so beautiful.
That kid is in it to win it, dog.
You're just in time for acorn nut muffins made out of the training nuts from yesterday.
Training nuts? Okay, what did I miss?
When Ferb returns from debate camp early, wondering the project he missed, Phineas and the gang tell him the story of yesterday's project, training domesticated squirrels to live in the wild. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz tells Perry what happened to his last scheme the day before.
Oh, that's funny.
It's a giant backstory episode.
Oh, it's all backstory. So much backstory. It's all flashbacks.
Yep, pretty much. It's all flashback.
Remember that Memento episode they had where it was told completely in reverse?
Yes.
I liked it and you hated it, right?
Yep.
So that was clever. This is not clever. This is we're not starting at the end and working right at the beginning. We're like literally at the end and we're thinking about the beginning.
Yep.
It didn't work for me. There were things that I enjoyed about it. I liked Ferb at debate camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other kid is like, I've lost and my life is meaningless. I mean, I can only imagine what Ferb said to win the debate so triumphantly.
That's the thing. I don't think he said, even though we don't see him say anything, I don't think he says anything because they even cut back to it a second time and Perry was at debate camp with him and Perry didn't even chirp, you know, so.
How bad was this kid? I mean, the kid that got beat twice. I mean, that kid got beat by two people who don't speak. He's really bad at what he does.
You know? Yeah.
Ferb is like, look at this shiny medal I got for a debate camp. It's like, you didn't earn that. You didn't even say anything. That kid was just bad.
Right.
He did not know what he was doing.
Right.
I give up. They're too persuasive.
So Doofenshmirtz is at the beach.
All I'm wearing is this robe.
No, he's wearing an apron.
All I'm wearing is this apron.
And you know, he's wearing shorts too, but he's wearing an apron. And
smile.
When I watched the episode, I was like, wait, is that what the, who the, how the? And I went back and I'm like, yeah, that was literally, it's a split second scene of Vanessa walking up behind him, handing him the tray.
She's like in a sarong.
Yeah. And as because I'm actually looking at the picture on the Phineas and Ferb wiki, even though I will take my own screenshot from the episode at some point. Sure. But I'm looking at the picture here, and I'm like, wow, Vanessa really went back to the stone. It looks like she's wearing bedrock clothing. Like, seriously, it looks like Fred Flintstone, you know, Betty and I almost said Betty and Veronica. Holy crap. Wilma and Betty. Wow. No. No Archie Flintstones, folks. Please, no. it looks like Wilma and Betty gave her some fashion tips, because that's the first thing I'm like, wow, Vanessa's not exactly clothed here. And I know they're at the beach, but still.
She's wearing like a dress with a...
Yeah.
I mean...
It's tied.
I believe it's called a sarong, but I mean...
Yeah, I don't know. No clue.
Apparently, Aliki Theophilopoulos... mentioned this on her Twitter.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know exactly what she... Oh, this is interesting. A leaky faucetinator is named for her.
Of course.
I didn't make the connection. I'm just looking at it here on the wiki for whatever reason. That's funny.
Oh my God, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Wilson admitted he looks on the wiki. Oh my God.
I read the wiki. I don't sound like I'm reading the wiki. There's the difference.
You're an asshole, Mr. Bush.
I can split my attention effectively.
Yeah, it looked sadly,
like,
I looked cannot.
Like Perry with one eye this way and the other eye that way. I can see it. Ah, that's funny. It wouldn't go over my head. I'm too fast. I would catch it.
And that goes for you too.
That was ironic because Ferb doesn't usually talk.
Is the refrigerator running? Well, you better go catch it.
Better go catch it. That's funny. I had a girlfriend. I used to call and do that to her while she was at work. She hated it.
Well, of course. I mean, everybody hates that joke.
Everybody hates it. Do you have Prince Albert in a can? She's like, I don't work at a grocery store. Stop it. It's like, but you didn't answer my question. Oh. I used to be a lot funnier. Anyway.
Yeah. You got to work on your dad jokes.
I do. So, squirrel undomestication. I know. Yeah. It's like, why? I mean, I get it. It's nice that it ties in to Doofenshmirtz's story that he started with domesticated squirrels.
Right.
And then he just abandoned them. Which is the truly evil thing that happens here, right? He's abandoning these. It's like throwing puppies on the side of the street for themselves. But Isabella teaches them to be cute, which is adorable. Buford teaches them physical education. Baljeet teaches them to eat nuts, which, now that I say it, sounds kind of bad. why not? Okay, stop it. Why not just adopt them out to people who would like a squirrel for a pet? I would love a squirrel for a pet. I don't think Candace would like a squirrel for a pet because she's afraid of squirrels.
Well, I mean, they're always in her pants, so, you know.
Squirrels? Squirrels?
It's closer than Jeremy ever got.
You don't know that. That might be why she's so obsessed.
Yeah.
You get a squirrel in your pants and suddenly you can't. Yeah.
So we have another...
another
ingenious jingle for this episode.
tell.
It all started with an establishing shot of my building.
Doofenshmirtz Sable Incorporated yesterday.
Oh, that's funny. I love it when they mix up the like there was one of the nighttime times where it's like Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated After Hours, you know that kind of thing where they kind of
dark.
Yeah,
that's right. It's like slightly adult oriented because it's nighttime.
Exactly. Anything else on What Did I Miss?
There was a peach cobblerinator.
Yes, there was. And the first thing I thought of was the presidents of the United States.
Millions of peaches. Peaches for me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I thought that too. Yeah. It used to be that presidents didn't have to like entice you with checks, you know, because of COVID. they just gave you millions of peaches.
Yeah. And then it's so funny because I'm kind of going back way backwards here at this point. I meant to mention when we're talking about Blackout. Doofenshmirtz says like a million times, "Pity me, pity me, pity me." Reminds me of a Drowning Pool song called "Pity Me."
It's a pitiable existence I lead, Perry the Platypus. Do you pity me? You should, because I'm pitiable. Everyone should pity me. You don't have to say pity too many times before it stops sounding like a word. Pity, pity, pity.
But what is this inside of me? Pity me, pity me, don't you pity me, pity me, pity me, don't you pity me.
See, that's only like two times and it's already just gobbledygook.
Scientific gobbledygook, Starscream.
Gobbledygook, too. I can't even get through that once. Gobbledygook. See, I'm not even to the last syllable and it's already... Great. Now I've forgotten what I was talking about.
And they sing that line a million times in the song. Drowning Pool, for those that don't know, including my co-host, was and is a American hard rock metal band. They did the song Bodies, When Bodies Hit the Floor.
Oh, that song.
Yeah, but this is another song from that album called Pity Me.
Okay. All right. Well, at least I got some reference there.
Yeah, I miss that guy. Anyway, lead singer killed himself years ago.
Oh, I was going to say, why did he die?
No. Yeah. The original lead singer, the guy who originally sang Bodies, killed himself years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, guys, future TFG1 Mike here. So when I was talking about Drowning Pool's former lead singer, Dave Williams, and his death, I incorrectly said that he killed himself. He did not. He died of a heart problem or something. They don't really know. But from the news that I can read here, it says something about a heart problem. So he did not kill himself.
I know. They are tortured souls.
Yes, they are.
Sucks being, like, famous and rich and people pay you sing. I mean, I could see how that would suck.
Yes, but I mean, the rock and roll lifestyle also includes drugs and alcohol and shit you're not supposed to do and shit that screws up your voice and all of that. So, you know, I mean, just look at Ozzy. Oh, it sucks. Well,
on the flip side of that, you have like Alice Cooper, who's like 90 and still awesome.
True. all right. What are you going to rate What Did I Miss?
I would give this one 3 stars for nature preservation. Even though I totally buy a domesticated squirrel. Like,
okay.
Like a squirrel that lives in a tree in my house and has a litter box. Yeah. He'd have to poop somewhere other than like on my floor. But yeah, I totally like a squirrel.
We all decided it was high time to teach the squirrels how to be squirrels.
So you've been domesticated, lost your identity.
Come on.
Just listen up and you can learn to be the best that you can be. Gather nuts and scurry and dodge a car or three. If you concentrate, you'll graduate and learn to climb a tree. But for now, we'll show you how to make every chestnut count. We'll make you sweat, you won't regret. Remember, put them in your mouth.
a pet, like a pet squirrel.
My God.
I'm going to catch hell for that. These are wild creatures. No, squirrels can be pets too. They're adorable and they're sweet and cuddly.
No.
No, you're not going to give it a 3, or no, you don't like squirrels for pets.
No. Okay, so I will admit that I have seen somewhat friendly slash domesticated squirrels in real life.
Yeah.
If you ever go down to Louisville, Kentucky, and you're ever on the University of Louisville Cardinals campus,
They feed the squirrels there, so much.
They'll walk right up to you. They're nice. Yeah. They're this. They're that. They're whatever.
Yeah.
They're not fully domesticated like these squirrels are, but they're not complete rabid squirrels like the squirrel in Christmas Vacation who jumps on Clark's face.
That squirrel was just trying to hibernate, man. He didn't know what the hell was going on.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, Clark did cut his tree down, so it is technically Clark's fault.
Exactly.
Yule post. Holy shit, where's the Tylenol? All right, I am giving this a 3.5 out of 5. I really enjoyed it. I dug it. I didn't, like, it's not one of my favorites, but it's a slightly better than average for me.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back to close the show after this.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinemageek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
DeCian, the superhero webcomic. DeCian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, comedy, mayhem, and more, read it now at DeCian.com. DASIEN.com.
Hi, I'm Terry Smith, the host of Music Talks, the podcast where I ask guests a simple but beguiling question. Choose a song from each decade of your life and tell me why these songs mean so much to you. Guests and listeners love this format, and if you want to find out why, then take a listen at musictalkspod.buzzsprout.com or use your favourite podcast app. Just search on Music Talks Terry Smith. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and... then send me a tweet at Music Talks Pod. I look forward to doing some music talking soon.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
You know, this is the time where you escape and try to destroy my innator. Oh, for Pete's sake, I've been there. Now attack. Start thwarting. No. Don't just walk away. Oh, I miss Perry the Platypus.
Good job, cadets. Now back down a tree. No, not like that. Head first. Sheesh, like I'm talking to myself here.
We are back, and ladies and gentlemen, we completely forgot to talk about Agent R, I assume, but basically the rhino is in place of Perry the Platypus the day before during Doofenshmirtz's scheme, and rhinos, they don't do much.
They don't do much. He didn't do much at all except eat the garbage.
Yeah.
You know, rhinos are known for, like, putting out fires in the savannah. They just, if they see a fire, they run over and they stomp on it real fast. And I was expecting there to be, like, you know, a campfire gag here, and it just didn't happen.
Nope.
Nope.
didn't happen at all.
Not a whole lot going on. I mean, there was a whole rhino. It's like, can we talk about the rhino in the room?
I mean, it's not like it's recording anything. It's not like it's a rhino record. It's not like it's getting a record deal. It's not a record label. It's just a rhino who doesn't do much.
Fair enough.
Besides, he can't really do much because the traps are so damn small, they just basically pinch him. I mean, who the hell wants to pinch a rhino on St. Patrick's Day? He's not green. Oh, wait, he's not wearing green. So pinch him with a... Anyway. Sorry.
Yeah, that's cool. All right.
Old joke. I don't know. Whatever. All right. Thank you for joining us here on Palco. There are several ways to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Just put in Palka and whatever episode your number you're leaving the feedback for. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course the home where our files exist, Spreaker. You can also use any other podcatching client you choose. However, I prefer you use one of these. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this if you still use iTunes. Follow us on Twitter. I am at TFG1Mike. You can follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other networks. Updates. Wow, I said that wrong. What is your Twitter?
PeconCTMichael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Balka and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on the final episode of Season 3 of Phineas and Ferb, which means we actually completed an entire season, not counting our recap episode, in less than a year. Compared to, you know, the first two seasons when we ended up on hiatus for like 3 years. Oh, well. Anyway, yes, this will be the season finale, according to Disney Plus, at least in their watch order on Disney Plus. This is your backstory. Oh, boy. It's going to be all about Heinz Doofenshmirtz and his backstories.
Nice. Ocelots and lawn gnomes and Gimmel stuff.
Yes, Gimmel stuff. That's right. Schumpf. For now,
can't do it.
Stumpf. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
But wait, there's more.
Say it again.
Aren't you a little young to be a podcaster?
No, I'm not. Aren't you a little old to be watching this cartoon show?
Yes, I am. It's good to see the nation's senior citizens taking an interest in cartooning.
Yes, it is.
There's not really any more. That's about it.
Been domesticated, lost your identity.
Come on!
Just listen up and you can learn to be the best that you can be. Gather nuts and scurry and dodge a car or three. If you concentrate, you'll graduate and learn to climb a tree.